The next chapter within this section is called Diagnose Before You Prescribe. Just imagine, you have been getting headaches and you're having trouble with your eyes. You think you need glasses. You call on Stan, your friend. He's an optometrist. He briefly listens to your complaint and replies, "I'm sure you need glasses. Here, I've worn this pair now for 10 years and they've really helped me. They'll do the same for you, and I've got an extra pair at home. Take this pair." You try them on. "But Stan, I can't even see as well as before," you report. He assures you, "That's okay. It's just a matter of adjustment, of getting used to them. Try your best. Before long, you'll see as well as I do. But it doesn't make any difference how hard I try. I still can't see well. Think positively." "Well, that doesn't seem to help either. Don't you realize what I'm doing for you?" The foolishness in this scenario is transparent. And yet, you know, in everyday settings, we prescribe, that is, we give advice, before we diagnose, before we understand. Let me give another illustration. Let's say you're trying to communicate with your daughter. "Come on, honey, tell me how you feel. I know it's hard, but I'll try to understand." And she responds, "Oh, I don't know, Mother. You'd think it was stupid." "Of course I wouldn't. You can tell me. Honey, no one cares for you as much as I do. I'm only interested in your welfare. What is it that makes you so unhappy?" "Oh, I don't know." "Come on, Mary, what is it?" "Well, frankly, Mother, I just don't like school anymore." "What do you mean you don't like school? Everyone in our family likes school. If you'd apply yourself like your older sister does, then you'd do well in school. Then you'd like school. Time and time again, we've told you to settle down. You've got the ability, but you just don't apply yourself." After your long pause, you begin again. "Now go ahead, honey. Tell me why you feel this way." You see, sometimes we train our children not to open up to us with their problems. They start to open up and we punish them. We judge them. We rush in with quick success formulas. We simply do not understand. We are prescribing before we diagnose. The tendency to rush in and fix things with a lot of good advice is so common. Really, it is. Advising is easier and quicker than understanding. But it doesn't work for two basic reasons. First, we don't yet understand, and our advice may be way off the mark, as in the optometrist illustration. Second, the advice we give, however good, may be seen as a form of judgment, even rejection, because we really never took the time to listen in order to understand. To carefully listen is a powerful way of saying to another that we value that person. The opposite can be very demeaning. Communication, in a sense, is like an iceberg. The verbal or word part is like the part of an iceberg seen above the surface of the water, yet the great mass of the iceberg is under the surface and cannot be seen. So with communication, most of it takes place in attitudes and feelings and spirit. Communication lies more in feelings than in words. Don't you know some people you communicate with almost without words? You simply understand each other. You trust each other. You've had a relationship long enough to know what different things mean to each other. And aren't there others, perhaps some even in your family or in your work, whom you see every day, with whom you have no communication, regardless of how careful you are about your words? Everyone is on guard for fear of being an offender for a word. Try this in the next argument you find yourself getting drawn into. Now, you'll need to exercise a lot of self-restraint and patience. As you sense the other person becoming a little heated, stop and take the time to carefully express what that person is trying to say. Stay with your effort until you are sure that the individual knows you understand his or her point of view. Watch what happens. It will literally amaze you. You'll discover that most arguments are really not disagreements at all, but they're little ego battles that arise from misunderstandings. If you find that there is an honest difference of opinion, you'll discover yourself disagreeing without being disagreeable, and you'll have a basis for further respectful discussion in the very area you found the disagreement. In addition to building harmonious relationships, let us look at the other reason why we must understand before we advise or judge. The reason is plain accuracy. Our advice, like the optometrist's, simply will not apply. Then if the person follows our advice and acts on our judgment, we become responsible. However, the opposite usually results. Until a person feels understood, he or she will simply not be influenced at all. Would you follow the prescription of the optometrist who didn't examine your eyes? To give another example, your child complains about not having friends at school. You advise, "Well, to have friends, you must be a friend." Your advice may be good, but it may not apply at all. The real problem may be that your child is unhappy at school because he was caught cheating. But because he didn't have the courage to admit this, he substituted a safer reason. Remember, the more emotional a problem is, the more time and effort you must put forth to understand. You'll need to listen with the third ear, the heart. People need to express themselves freely and fully without fear of ridicule or embarrassment or censor. Then they will likely become more open to influence and to reasoning. You may think you understand. In fact, even without listening, you may actually understand what is going on, but the people talking to you may not feel understood until they have expressed themselves. To them, their problems are unique. They're different. And you just can't simply generalize and categorize. You will find that understanding before prescribing is not easy. It is enormously difficult, but also enormously powerful. The whole key to human influence is to first be influenced, that is, to understand.